Welcome to the forum on your tally broadcasting stations. I'm David Jenkins. Flag Day, June 14th. It's coming up, and it's a day that once had one meaning. It still has that meaning, but to some, it has a completely different meaning because of events that happened last year. What seemed like a normal June 14th day in 2017 turned out to be anything but when a gunman from South Central Illinois opened fire on a group of Republican legislators who were practicing for an upcoming charity baseball game. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Congressman Rodney Davis. Rodney, June 14th will probably never be the same for you because of what happened last year. Can you tell me, take me through that morning, what happened at the baseball practice, what that day has been like a year later?
Sure. You know, a lot of folks may not know, we play a congressional baseball game for charity each year. It raises about $600,000 for local D.C. charities, David. And, you know, it's Republicans playing Democrats at Washington National Stadium, real baseball, and we take it a little too seriously. But you know what? We always have a great camaraderie. And we were finishing up what would have been our last practice before the game on June 14th last year. I was up to bat, and I heard a very loud noise, and I kind of looked out to left field thinking it might be a construction accident. And then the next thing I heard is, run, he's got a gun. And I realized at that point somebody was firing at us. And I ran from home plate to the dugout, dove into the dugout, eventually worked my way off the field to our only exit and only entrance by the first base dugout because of the courage of two Capitol Police officers that were there to protect our majority whip, Steve Scalise, and they saved us all. That's the short version, and it does still impact me, and it's been something that I think about every single day.
Weren't you able to go inside, like, the apartment or business of somebody to call the authorities and whatnot? Did that happen, or am I misremembering something?
No, you're absolutely right. After I stood behind the shed, I remember thoughts going through my mind that we've got two police officers with their service revolvers, and I was afraid our guys were going to run out of ammo before the backup got there. And that's when a few of us said we all just ran across the street and took cover behind some more cars to get away from the field even more. And I remember somebody saying he's coming around the corner. And at that point in time, we didn't know if there's one or multiple gunmen. And I led two other members of Congress and took off around a building to find better protection. As I turned the corner to hide behind a coffee shop building, a gentleman in an apartment across this vacant area said, come inside. And we ran around a fenced-off construction area and ran into what ended up being Ben and Elizabeth Childers' apartment. And while I was there, I immediately called 911. They assured me that authorities were coming, even though I couldn't hear them. And then I called my wife, who was actually on her way to work at Springfield at Memorial Medical Center. I didn't have my phone, so it wasn't my phone. She somehow picked up a call from an Ohio number at about 6 in the morning, our time. And I remember telling her that, you know, there's a gunman came to our practice. I'm okay. We're still here. We're safe, but we're waiting for it to end. And I didn't remember this conversation, but Elizabeth Childers told me later that she remembered my wife asking if everybody was okay. And she said, I told my wife that Scalise is down, and all she could hear was my wife screaming because Steve's our friend. He's a dad. He's a loving husband to his wife, Jennifer, and not just a member of Congress. And it really hits home when you see things like that happen to people you're close to.
Had she heard at all the news before you had called her, or were you really breaking it to her at that time?
No, we were breaking it, and she immediately turned around and went back towards home. This was going to be the first game I had no family members come out to. And she turned around to go home and realized that the news hadn't broke yet. She wasn't going to go to her parents' house to wake up her parents or our two boys who were at home. So she went and knocked on the door of our good friend's house and was there. And she told me it took about 40 minutes for her and the rest of the country to start hearing about what happened. And they were turning the TV on. And finally, when it broke, she decided she was coming out to D.C. that day. And I was ecstatic. My team arranged for her to do so. And I got to thank the folks at the Springfield Airport. My wife was about to miss the plane, and the United gate agent went ahead and parked her car for her. And that was, it's things like that that you see the humanity in people at a time of tragedy like we were experiencing that day.
Congressman Rodney Davis joining me here today on the Forum program. And Congressman, you mentioned Majority Whip Steve Scalise, he was down at the time. There was a time where we weren't sure, you know, what his status was going to be. And I think, well, quite frankly, the situation was serious the entire time. How is he doing today? Is he doing okay?
He's doing great compared to what I thought the news would be when he got into that helicopter and they took him to the hospital that morning. As I was standing there watching that helicopter fly away, I immediately went to my fellow colleague, Brad Winstrip, who's an Army medic and a combat doctor, who immediately ran out on the field, and I credit him with saving Steve's life. He's my ride to practice every day. And I said, Brad, how is it? And he just shook his head. He said, I don't know yet. But this past weekend, I'm texting back and forth with Steve. He was texting me about an article that he saw in his local paper that I was quoted in. And Steve was recently in Illinois with me. He's a great guy, recovering well, a great friend. And I did joke with him, you know, what a way to lose 40 pounds by getting shot in the butt. He's got such a great sense of humor, and he's doing well. And he reminded me when he got back, he said, you never really know how much you use your gluteus muscle till you can't anymore. He's down to one crutch instead of two. He's off his scooter. Really moving along well. As a matter of fact, just last week, he came back out to our baseball practice, and he was playing catch. He was a little wobbly, but as I told him, he was pretty wobbly before he got shot, too.
Now, he wasn't one of your constituents, but still, for the gunman to be from Belleville, which is not that far away from us, me personally, I'm shocked this was all happening anyway, but I was even more shocked that someone from so close to the area was involved in that.
Yes, it was shocking. You'll never hear me mention the shooter's name. I don't think in any of these shootings that any name of the shooter should be mentioned, because that's what some of the shooters want. They want glorification. They want to be able to have somebody Google their name and be a celebrity in their own mind. So I'll never say his name. But I found out he was from Illinois. I immediately got back to the office after they kind of corralled us behind police tape on a basketball court at the park to get all of our statements. Got back to the office, and we had a request to go tell our story, and I didn't even go down and change. I said, you know, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it now. And I walked down to Statuary Hall, where a lot of the TV cameras are and media outlets, and began telling the story. And while I was in one of the media interviews, I had my staff, or in between the media interviews, I had my staff come up and show me an email from the Capitol Police asking if we knew who this guy was. And our office had no contact with him, but I kind of figured that may be who they thought was the suspect. And then it was confirmed while I was doing a live interview with either ABC or NBC, and they asked me what I felt. I said I felt nauseated that somebody from my home state would do this. And then they asked me, what message would you like to send him? And I believe I said something like, well, I want to send him a message that, you know, he didn't succeed. We're all surviving, and that there's a warm place in hell for people like him to go to.
Prior to that day, the mood had been fairly negative, at least from the public's perception of politics in the country. And that day happened. And I know you have been one of the most outspoken against the negativity as far as political rhetoric is concerned. And I know you have even said, you've told me as well, that despite what the media reports and that what goes on the surface, Republicans, Democrats, whatever, you all still work together, and most of the time you get along. Have you seen maybe a change in the mood or the public perception since that day, or are we still roughly where we were a year ago?
You know, I wish it'd be more. You know, remember, we most of what we did even before that day was very bipartisan, but it doesn't get covered in the news media. I think as the election comes up, you'll see more partisanship. We've seen that with even things like the Farm Bill. But when we look back, I think this is going to be a time in our country where we're either going to move toward more polarization, more of the hate, more vitriol, or people are going to be able to put their phones down, their social media accounts down, and realize that there are people on the other end of those attacks, be it political attacks or, in our case, attacks with bullets. Now, a lot of folks don't realize, and it's not been reported, that one of the staffers who was out in left field shagging fly balls that I was hitting actually heard the gunman scream healthcare as he was firing at us. We'll never know because he's in that warm place in hell right now. But if he's shooting at us because he disagrees with us politically, what's that say about the ability to have a good political debate in this country? And we got to use messaging like that and use, you know, tragedies like the one I experienced as a message to the next generation that it's okay to compromise. It's okay to work together. It's okay to have disagreements. But you got to understand that in the end, we're Americans. And that's the message I don't think gets out enough. I wish we did a better job, and that's why I'm trying to be kind of a voice in the wilderness sometimes about putting country first and about making sure that we have that civilized debate, because that's what people in Central Illinois expect.
Congressman, have you been able to, since that day, and I'm sure you had immediately after, but as the year has progressed, have you been able to develop a relationship and really speak with the members of the security team who really helped out that day and really saved your guys' lives?
Absolutely. I knew him beforehand. Crystal Greiner was in Springfield with me when she worked with then Majority Leader Eric Cantor, who was coming to do an event for me. We were sliding around on the runway at Springfield Airport together. So, and David Bailey. I used to, and still do, joke around with the Capitol police officers a lot. They're great people. Matter of fact, that morning, I'm sure I had something smart-alecky to say to David and Crystal about driving. I always called Steve Mr. Daisy. I'm like, well, you guys got to drive Mr. Daisy out here in the morning. And they laugh, I laugh, and I went on about my day getting to practice. And since that day, yes, worked with Crystal and David to get them the benefits they deserve, and also just have gotten to know them a lot better. It was really humbling for me. The next night, David threw out the first pitch, and I got a picture hanging on the wall in one of my offices in D.C. of me just hugging David. You can still see the road rash on my arms from diving into the dugout. But it's a picture of thanks. And I remember grabbing his head that day and just couldn't quit saying, thank you, we owe you everything. And he, when the game started, went up to an area behind home plate where my wife happened to be sitting. And my wife told me, she introduced herself to him and said my husband was there on the field that day. And he said, well, which one's your husband? And she said, she told him it was me. And she said, he just started laughing. He said, you know what, Roddy's one of our favorites. And he's always, always got a smile on his face. And he's one of the, and she said, he said, he's one of the good guys. That tells me a lot about a guy like David Bailey, that interaction and friendship I had before doesn't change, even though we're now connected throughout history in a very tragic event. And I thank the Lord every day he and Crystal were there.
Ronnie Davis, thank you so much for talking to me today. I assume the baseball game is going to go on again this year as well, probably.
It is. It'll be on June 14th, which is the anniversary of the shooting. And that'll be a pretty surreal day. We will play again. Hopefully this time we're going to play a little bit better and win again. But it's going on. We're practicing now. We've got a lot more security at practice. Never thought that either team would have to have that, but both teams do. And I hope the nation tunes in again, and I hope they're just as generous as they were last year when America really stepped up, David, and raised another $900,000 for local D.C. charities, and we added the Capitol Police Fund, too. And they did it in less than 24 hours after the tragedy. Let's keep that up. And I hope folks go to the website, thecongressionalbaseballgame.org, and have a chance to help us out here because it's a good cause, and I think it'll send a message to those who think that the shooter was somehow justified in doing what he was doing.
Congressman Rodney Davis, thank you so much again for joining me today. I very much appreciate you walking me through the day. I know it couldn't have been easy. Even though a year has passed, it's still something I know you will never forget. Again, thank you for talking to me today, and good luck with everything moving forward, especially with the game you've got coming up.
Well, thank you. It's been an interesting year, and my heart goes out to anybody who's experienced this, especially the kids over the last year in our schools. Those that survived are going to wake up with the same memories I do every day, and my heart breaks for them. And we need to come together as a country to make sure that no one feels unsafe. And that's going to take all of us banding together. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, David.
Again, that was U.S. Representative Rodney Davis. And that's it for this edition of The Forum. I'm David Jenkins. Tune in next time, but until then, so long.